True Christians do not try to earn God's acceptance. That's a slap in his face. True Christians know that salvation is entirely a gift. And the gift is that Christ came down himself and took the full punishment for you, for your sin. Your sin requires that death is the punishment. Genesis chapter 2, the soul that sins will surely die. But Christ, as your substitute, died in your place. That's the gospel. In your stead. Instead of you, he died. So true Christians do not try to earn or deserve God's acceptance. True Christians just simply look at salvation by trusting in Christ. What he did, not what we can do. So don't miss this now. That's the gospel. The most important message you'll ever hear in eternity. The rest of your Christian life is just simply responding to the gospel. The rest of your Christian life is just simply responding to Christ's love. Worship, that's a response. Singing, that's a response. Every time that you say no to sin because Jesus is better, that's responding to the gospel. Josiah got to Psalm 16 and he stopped at verse 11. In your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forever. So if you can find me anything better than fullness of joy, I'd take that. If you can find me anything that's more lasting than forever, I'll take that. But you won't, because it's Christ. The rest of your Christian life is just responding to the gospel. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark chapter 9 today. That's where we're going to be. We pick a book of the Bible. We walk through it verse by verse. But today's Bible verses stumped 10 pastors discussing it in a room on Tuesday. And it was only 4 verses. So you Christian out there who reads your Bible, be encouraged. Don't get discouraged that you think that we have all the answers. We have the same Bible you do. And when you read it and you're like, what is he saying? Just know that 10 pastors in a room are like, I don't know. How are we supposed to teach this to the people? But before we read it, I wanted to give you the point, just to help it be clear in your mind. I just told Ty this week, like, I want to wrestle with these questions so that when I get up here, it's not muddy and going, well, it kind of might mean this. And then you just leave here more confused than when you walked in. But the point is this, two things. Number one, kill the desire to make much of ourselves. That's in all of us. It was in the disciples. And you got to kill that, like actively put to death the desire to make yourself great. Second thing, this one is my favorite. Jesus takes it personal how you treat other believers. This was my favorite. So two things, kill the selfish desire in you to make much of yourself, and then be warned that Jesus takes it personal how you treat other believers. So we're only going to go through 4 verses, Mark 9, 38 through 41, using the name of Jesus. Here we go. John came up to Jesus and said, Teacher, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop, like he wants patted on the back, because, here's the phrase, he wasn't in our group. Jesus said, verse 39, don't stop him. He rebuked him, don't stop him. No one who performs a miracle in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me. Verse 40, anyone who is not against us is for us. If anyone gives you even a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, I tell you the truth, that person will surely be rewarded. That's the whole text. It means what it says, right? Well, if you remember earlier in chapter 9, just 20 verses earlier, the disciples had just failed to cast out a demon. You remember that? They just failed to cast out a demon. Their pride was humbled. And they are such slow learners because just a few verses later, they were discussing which one of them was the greatest. And Jesus tells them, if you want to be the greatest, you must be a servant of all. They're not getting it. And here we are just a few verses later, John pipes up and says, we saw someone casting out demons, but we tried to stop him. Why? Because he wasn't in our group. At this point, the disciples are not getting the mission. They're not understanding the assignment. They're arguing about who is ranked number 1 through 12. They're picking their disciple madness brackets, and they're way off. They're not understanding the kingdom of God. They're not understanding that it's much bigger than they think. I know my point is kill the desire to make much of yourself, but I won the March Madness bracket among the pastors. The truth is, I didn't pick out a single team. I let my dad pick the entire bracket. And then I sent them, after I won, John 5:19 that says, the Son can do nothing, only what he sees the Father doing. And Charlie goes, I don't get it. Okay. Right here, big bold. Kill the desire to make much of yourself. Verse 39, Jesus says, don't stop him. Nobody who performs a miracle in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me. Anyone who is not against us is for us. And then 41, I tell you, anybody who gives a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, that person will surely be rewarded. This is why we give you all bottles of water. That's a joke. I'm kidding. We don't do that. But what's he saying? What's the point? Here it is. Up on the screen. Jesus so identifies himself with believers that what you do to his people, you do to him. He takes it personal. When he came down and blinded Saul, he said, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you picking on my people? He said, why are you persecuting me? So Jesus so identifies with his people that whatever you do to his people, you do to him. Something as small as a drink of water, he says, I saw that. How you treat other believers, Jesus takes it personal. And we're going to see next week he gets very severe. And I mean severe. He says, if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to sin, it would be better if you were drowned in the ocean. That's my Jesus. Shape your view of Jesus from his word, not the one that you see in the movies. How you treat other believers, Jesus takes personally. Now, here's the part that was potentially confusing and tripped us all up. If they aren't against us, they are for us. That's the part. Because when you read that, your mind and mine automatically goes to, well, as long as you're not an atheist, as long as you're not a terrorist, as long as you're not an anti-Christian, then you're good. You're on the team. You're not against Jesus, then you must be in. As long as you're Jesus-friendly, you're saved. Right? That's where your mind goes. But the problem is, Jesus said the parallel opposite of this also. Luke 11:23. Anyone, this is just Jesus' words, who isn't with me opposes me. Anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. And so you have whoever is not against us is for us. And you have whoever isn't working with me is actually against me. And so which one is it? Well, the point is this, up on the screen. There is no one before that. That one. Nope. Before that. That's my fault. I scratched it out. You guys give the sound guys a hard time. It's actually me the whole time. I really did change that last minute. The point is, there is no neutral group. There is no neutral ground. He leaves no option for a middle group. You're either with him or not. So now up on the screen, you are either for Christ or you are against him. There's no third option, according to Jesus. If you are not against him, you're with him. And if you're not with him, you're against him. Well, what about the gray area? What about that safe, ride the fence, middle of the road option? Well, that option does not exist. Well, I want the option where I'm not too radical. Like, I don't want to talk about Jesus publicly because that gets weird. But yet, I don't want to be so non-religious that I can still save my own skin and not go to hell. If that's your plan, the middle of the road option, that plan doesn't exist. So back to the text. You got to choose whether you're for or against Christ. But back to the text. This unnamed man who was casting out demons, we are never told who he was. Here is how we settled it. Up on the screen. Anyone who is obeying God's word is not a threat to God's glory. That's how you decide who is for Christ or who is against Christ. It's anyone who is obeying God's word. If a church down the road is obeying God's word and people are falling in love with the living Savior, Jesus says, don't stop them. But they're not in our group. They don't have our label. And Jesus says, I know, the kingdom's not about your group. It's about those who belong to the Savior. It's much bigger than you think. So he's asking his followers, he's asking his disciples to kill selfish ambition, to kill that desire to make our name great, but make Christ's name great. So this was not an issue of truth. Like, does he have the right gospel? John was upset merely because he wasn't in their group. Just a quick scriptural example. In Philippians, people were preaching Christ with bad motives. And they were doing it to make Paul feel bad. Like, you're in prison. We didn't get in prison. And he says, I don't care as long as Christ is preached. In Galatians, people were preaching and they changed the message of the gospel. And they were saying, unless you do A, B, and C, you're not a Christian. And Paul said, I won't even tell you. Okay, I'll tell you. They were teaching, unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. And Paul said, I wish they would just emasculate themselves. I don't know why you guys think the Bible is boring. So that's the point. If they are following God's word, they are not our enemies. If they are changing the message of Christianity to something else, they're not on the same team. They're actually against Christ. So here, John was trying to exalt his own significance, his own self-worth, his own group. They weren't in our group, so we tried to stop them. And that is what Jesus was rebuking. Do not stop. The kingdom's bigger than you. And then next week, we will also be reminded that Jesus takes it personal, how we treat other believers. We'll see the extent of the seriousness. He says, this week, I tell you, if you just do something as a cup of cold water, I saw that. And next week, if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to sin, it'd be better to take a millstone, that's a 1,000-pound stone, and throw it around your neck and drown into the sea. Okay, good night, kids. Bedtime story's over. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful that you give us your word, that we don't have to guess who you are. We don't have to read signs of the sky to figure out what your will for us is. But that you did come and you speak through your word to us. So we're asking that we would take you at your word. And as we get ready to celebrate communion, that we would be reminded of your death until you come again. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.